We'll be right back. Yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
You want me to sample this?
Nah, I'm trying to stay away from as many samples as I can right at this very moment.
True. So
I'm trying to figure out this live situation. It's just all over the place for no reason.
Alright, so that right there, that was Faye Live's Cool D, Beast of No Nation. That voice you hear is Winklow. In the background noise. So let me so welcome to Tell Me a Story. This is your host, Victorious. And like I said, today's guest is, I call him Wink. They used to call him Winky. I don't know if they still do. On Facebook, he's the Honorable Reginald Purvis. On Facebook, honorably speaking. And it's Wink Lowe. Wink was good.
Hey man, chilling. What's the deal?
Nothing much. Let's get into it. You know, people who follow the show know I usually only have filmmakers and authors. But we kind of stretched this a little bit because you actually, you know, you are working on your autobiography.
That's a fact.
So it works. You know what I mean? You are the second MC to be here. So just so y'all know, we play some of Wink's music. That's because he's a guest of the show. I'm not going to be playing your joints. You know what I mean?
No, I don't need my music played. We
really
could.
Really? Okay. Cool. So Wink, we talk sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go. I don't want to go to the beginning. But tell me the beginning. Where are you born and raised originally?
I'm from Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Okay.
I wasn't born in Flatbush though, but that's what I rap.
Okay.
I was born in Bed-Stuy. I lived in Bed-Stuy for a little bit, but not really nothing major. You know what I mean? I was born in Bed-Stuy. I was born in Cursor Street, across the street from Roosevelt. You know. But, you know, born in Christian Street from Roosevelt, I moved to, I lived in Far Rockaway for a little bit. I lived in Bushwick for a little bit, and then I moved to Flatbush.
What made you gravitate towards Flatbush in regards to your identity and personality? Because some folks would go all those places and say, nah, I'm from Far Rock, or I'm from the Star. So what made you cement yourself?
Cause I was young. I moved to Flatbush when I was about like 9 or 10 years old. I was young, you know. Flatbush kind of shaped everything about me, who I am, you know, what I am today. So only thing I didn't kind of identify with, I wasn't really with the music. But other than that, Flatbush kind of made me who I am. You know what I mean?
Tell me about Flatbush. I mean, tell them about Flatbush.
Flatbush.
Tell me, I'm from East Flatbush. You tell me about Flatbush. Flatbush.
Flatbush is I'm from 2 First.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the notorious 2 First. Pretty dope place to me. I didn't really go outside much when I was a kid. I didn't go outside much. My moms didn't really let me outside. I was really into books and school and shit like that. I got like 2 brothers and a sister. Same mom, same pops. 2 First was just, there was always gunshots going off, people getting killed in the elevator. The police didn't come on the block at all when I was growing up at all. They were scared to come over there because they was letting it rip over there. You just stayed on 2 First. You ain't really do much.
And what's the name of your building?
Oh, the castle.
Now, why do they call it the castle?
I don't know, because it's shaped like a castle, I guess. Okay. I never did the history on why they call it the castle for. I guess because it's shaped like the castle. That's the only thing I could think of.
So, you had both of your parents at home.
Yeah.
You know, the stereotype is that, you know, they would say, I bet he didn't know his father. Or, you know, what do you think when you hear things like that, when people, they think they have the foundation of a so-called problem, and they always blame it to not having good parents and things like that? How much did that really affect you or have a weight?
It kind of semi-affected me, but I had both parents there, you know what I mean? I had my moms and my pops. My moms was like, you know what I mean? She was the hard-working, driven woman. You know, my moms had 2 jobs. She used to work in Ronald Emmons 113. You know, she worked in a supermarket as well.
4 grand.
Yeah. My dad, he was just like the housewife to me. As growing up, I realized that he's like the housewife. He was the person that was He cooked, he cleaned, he made sure all our homework was done. So that was my dad. He was not violent. He was very quiet.
Why are you calling the house? Why you couldn't have been like the home? What, the housewife? Went? Like,
I'm just saying the housewife in the sense of I grew up. You might remember growing up. I didn't think that. As you get a little older and you know the roles of a man and you understand the role of a woman, then you realize what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So, can you tell me a little bit about your father?
My pops was cool, mad quiet. All he did was like do push-ups. He smoked his little joints as usual. My pops used to smoke mad joints, do mad push-ups, cook food. His food used to be banging. That's about it.
Are you quiet like your father? Like you're like a quiet person.
Very
if
quiet.
If it ain't you know about anything, like you, something you rather observe.
Very much so. I'm very quiet. I'm gonna say that. My homie called me the gentle giant the other day. My homie Steve-O, he's like, "Yo, you the gentle giant." I was like, "I don't. Come on, you gotta chill out with that shit."
Is Steve-O from Def Jam?
Yes, okay. That's my road dog. That's the ace, Steve-O, Steve Carlos. Shout out to Steve Carlos.
So you said that you weren't outside a lot at a certain age.
Nah.
When did you start touching the concrete or jump off the porch, as you said?
I was allowed to go outside, but I had a curfew. You know what I mean? My curfew used to be like I couldn't be outside past 10 o'clock. So I'm the oldest. I got two little brothers and I got a little sister. My other brother, he was out since he was like he's a year younger than me. So when I was about 11, 12, he was like about 11, 10, and He was already on the streets. You know what I mean? When I say he was already on the streets, he was up the block in front of 100. He was hustling. He was doing his thing. You know what I mean? He was up the block with the older dudes. He was hustling, stashing packs, running in and out the building. He didn't have a curfew. I don't know why, but he didn't have a curfew. You know what I mean? I was never violent. I was never like loud. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe my mom's was like kind of shielding me or trying to protect me. I guess he was already out there. He was already like, he was with it. You know what I mean? Like, well, that's what I thought. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if we're gonna be going there.
Yeah, I'm trying to go live.
Yeah, for you.
Let me see if this go live. Hold on for a second. Yeah, but
I'm gonna hold on as Wink tries to operate the.
I'm trying.
So let me ask you a question, people. Because I've heard, I don't know what you hear, I don't know what kind of things get to your ears, but you hear, okay, well, Wink was, he was just playing basketball, Wink wasn't outside. What's the,
That's true.
What's the misconception that a person has to be suddenly cracked when they're 4 years old in order to, you know what I mean? Like, where does the validation
go live?
That people... I'm very distracted. I can't inform my. Is it live? Is it live yet?
Yeah, I'm live. Sentences.
Yeah, so people have these parameters of validation that they throw on people. Like, you can't be playing sports. You had to have been off the porch at 9 years old. Like, what do you think about those sometimes unrealistic and stereotypical?
Well, it's funny because when I look back on it, I didn't start playing basketball. That wasn't my go-to. I remember when I was in public school. I was in 240. I went to 249, and I was playing tennis. I started out playing tennis with Mr. Jackson and Ms. Hyman. You know, anybody that's from 2 First know Ms. Hyman from up the block. So I used to play tennis. I played tennis. And then when everybody started making fun of me from playing tennis, I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club on Beffett all the time. I used to go to Boys and Girls Club. I joined the swim team with Mr. Allen.
I'm sorry. Playing. So you felt like there was no making fun of you in the swim team?
But a lot of people didn't really kind of know about that at first, right, with the swim team. Because when you was in the Boys and Girls Club, it was different floors. You know, upstairs, pool, they played the hockey. I was downstairs, I was on the swim team. They only lasted for a little bit, though. You know what I mean?
Do you watch tennis now?
No.
Okay.
I watch swimming, though.
That's very interesting to me.
I watch swimming, though.
Okay.
So, you know, I did that. I also tried when Uma was out, Kamba. I tried the softball. Just wasn't my thing either. My mom signed me up for football. It was a little bit too rough for me at that time. I wasn't with it.
You told me before that you didn't like to dirty up your...
Oh, yeah. I wasn't about getting my clothes dirty. I wasn't with all, like, getting dirty, hands dirty. I wasn't a hands-on type of person at that time. I was just more like, I just wanted to read a book. You know what I mean? Read a book, get this work done, keep it moving. That's how I was. Basketball, it was just... kind of just fell in my lap. When I say just kind of fell in my lap, it just literally fell in my lap. I just picked up a basketball, started playing ball, and that was it.
So what age are we at right now?
I started playing basketball when I was about like maybe like 12, 13 years old. You get so, like 12, 13.
So where does, so far you've been, you know, pretty honest, where is the strength come from to be vulnerable about any of this?
I guess it's people. When you start to realize who you are, it doesn't really matter how people view you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you try to hide who you are because you don't want the people to see that side. But it doesn't really kind of bother me anymore. I'm a little bit older. I'm a little bit wiser. Kind of been through a lot of stuff. So what's the whole point of even just trying to hold on to it? You know what I mean? I get it. You know what I'm saying? So being that I get it, I guess I can pass it on. You know what I mean? Being vulnerable, I'm vulnerable with my kids. I'm vulnerable with my wife. Like, you know.
Are you a gangster?
That's a fact.
Okay. When do you feel as though, are gangsters born or gangsters made or they developed? Is that a weird ass question? Like, what would you? How do you see it?
I don't know if you could be born a gangster. I don't think you could be born a gangster. I think that from what you see and how you're groomed and how you're treated growing up and, you know, the shoes that you try to fit, that grooms you to be. Because what you go through, those are your hardships. That only can make you either stronger or weaker. You know what I mean? Or run away from it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody ain't a hustler. You know what I mean? Like, growing up, I didn't hustle. That wasn't my thing. I wasn't out there trying to sell drugs or do anything of the above. I was doing corny shit, like trying to play basketball. Well, when I look back on it, I should have stayed on that. You know what I mean? I was doing corny shit, though, playing basketball, going in the house, playing video games, trying to stay really off the streets. You know what I mean? I didn't really kind of transition into the streets until I was about, like 14, 15. Like, around, like, 14, 15, I really got into the streets. Like, I started gangbanging. I just jumped into a head-on gangbang.
But you put yourself into the street.
Yeah. Just from trying to get attention, I guess. You know what I mean? I was trying to get attention from my mom. You know what I mean? Because I see that my little brother, he was getting a lot of attention from hustling. You know what I mean? Being up the block hustling. So being up the block hustling, I thought that was, you know... I didn't think at that time the attention that I was getting from her was enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't enough to me.
Did you ever express to her that you felt that way?
No. Never. No. Okay. Never.
So tell me the story. They want to know, you know, I like to hear stories from myself. Are you a Crip?
Yeah.
Did I say that properly? Is that Mr. Purvis, are you a Crip? Like, how do you say that? Like, you know, are you low?
Everybody knows me. I'm Wink Loke. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so I'm sorry, sir. This is not a hood audience.
What's going on? My name is Wink Loke. You know what I mean? I grew up and transitioned my name to. I added the Loke to my name. I grew up. My grandmother named me. My grandmother used to call me Winky Dink. You know what I mean? Winky Dink came from... I mean, she used to call me Winky Dinky Dog. That comes from the movie Hollywood Shuffle. I never seen the movie, so I don't know. But I know it's from this movie called Hollywood Shuffle. From Hollywood Shuffle, you know, my grandmother used to call me Winky Wink. As I was getting a little older, they used to call me Winky Dinky Dog. It's starting to get shorter. You know what I mean? My Aunt Nicole, she calls me Winky. You know what I mean? Then my whole family, they calls me Winky, Winky. My mother calls me that, Winky, 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 Winky. So it kind of stood out. Like, all right, Winky, all right, whatever, Winky. So when I started gangbanging, it was just Wink Loke. I just shortened it up to Wink Loke. You know what I mean? And that's what stood out. Like, that's Wink Loke. So, you know.
I'm going to show you Winky Dinky Dog.
Yeah, like nah.
It's a restaurant.
Oh, see, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So you know, my grandma, I wasn't privy to that. You know what I mean? I didn't really kind of pay it no mind.
Right, right.
Just like
right.
My brother, his name was Butter. It was from the commercial, the margarine commercial that used to always come up back in the days. He used to just take off running towards the TV. And, you know what I mean? So that was that. You know what I mean? So that's how my name stuck out to me. So all it did was transition from who I was. So anybody that knows me from back in the days, they always call me Winky. Yo, that's Winky. That's Wink. That's Winky. Wink Loke just transitioned to that.
Is that recent?
What, Wink Loke?
Yeah, because I've always heard you as Winky.
Yeah, it's not recent. It's just that some people that knows me, that's what they identify me right as. They don't call me Wink Loke. You know what I mean? That's Winky right there. Yo, that's Winky. You know what I mean? So
how did this... thing happened. Flatbush, for those a lot of people don't know, Flatbush is known for, this used to be known for, it's still known for Crips. That's like, you know, that's a stereotype. You know, if you go anywhere, that's what people are going to think about you. So how
yeah, it's like that in the prison system too.
I didn't want to go there, you know, did you get enveloped by that, or were you the foundation of that?
Are you well, swept into it? It's a lot of people, like, they dip and dive with the, you know what I mean, that the authenticity of what happened. Like, honestly, what happened is how I got into the whole thing is this dude that used to live on my block. It was this Panamanian dude that lived on my block. His name was Eddie. He's around my age, maybe a year older than me or whatever. He lived up the block. He had a brother. I used to always see Eddie with a purple rag, always doing some always. He was always strapped, whatever. I was always strapped, but I wasn't into the streets yet. So I remember I was like, yo, I asked Eddie, yo, I want to get down with what you down with.
I hate to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
You were always strapped.
Yeah.
But you were not into the streets yet.
Yeah.
Like, just break that. Where were you strapped with?
Because
what
I was from.
What does strapped mean?
Because I was from 2 First, so everybody always had, you know what I mean? We always, almost all my peers had Trey Deuces, you know what I mean? These little Trey Deuces. So anybody that know me, like, I wasn't really, really heavy into the streets yet, you know what I mean? I was still just Winky. I was just playing basketball, reading books, you know what I mean? Playing video games, you know what I mean? That was me, you know what I mean? That just was me.
Back to Eddie.
So Eddie took me to the park one day. I don't remember when, you know what I mean? He took me to the park. He took me to 92 Park. Went to 92 Park. And from there, it was on. You know what I mean? From there, it was on. You know what I mean? It was on. I was never UK. I was never PK. I was never JK. I was always Crip. You know what I mean? Like, when that transition happened, it kind of happened real fast. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot of the stories and shit that you hear, you know what I mean? Some of them are factual and some of them are unfactual. You know what I mean? Everybody tries to shape the history into their liking instead of being honest. You know what I mean? So I can only tell you what I know and what I experienced and what I've been through. You know what I mean?
So without going into specific stories, we'll save some of that for the autobiography, right? Were you a leader from the time that you came out as Crip? Were you a leader?
I think I was always a leader. You know what I mean? I don't think my age justified that. You know what I mean? Because I still looked up to people. When I say I looked up to people, like, I looked up to for people for different things. When I say different things is, I remember, I could take you back to a time when Crippin had just, it like kind of really started, and it was a little situation that happened in on, it was like, I think it was on Glenwood or something like that, but it was like further up on Flatbush side, I remember. And I remember my boy Lucito, he was like, I remember he had a kid, because he always had his kids with him. He was always in the park, he always was like, but he wasn't Crip, but he always was around. Like, when I say he always around, you know, he was always around, you know what I mean? So, but he was always around in a good sense. Like, he would tell you stuff that made sense. It's whether you listen to it or not to intake it. But, you know me, I was like fake listening to it. Like, yeah. I remember a bunch of the conversations that we used to have, though, where, you know, he used to have his daughter in the park in a stroller. You know what I mean? His wife at the time, his girl. I used to look up to that. You know what I'm saying? But I was just so caught up. Shit was happening so fast. When I look back at it, it's like, it just went too fast, man. And it was speeding. You know what I mean? The one day you had Flatbush, it wasn't Crips. The next day, boom, everybody Crip. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, it was going fast. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was a small fraction and things. No, this shit happened fast. You know what I mean? When I say this shit happened fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, at one point, in a moment, you just had Flatbush, and next thing you know, it's everybody Crip. What's up?
So in a week, how many people would you say?
I'm going to say when Tip and Chino made it official, that was it. Everybody that was majority, I could say like 90% of everybody that was UK, PK, or whatever, they was Crip. Mostly all the Panamanians, they was Crip. And they was really about that action. You feel what I'm saying? They was, yo, Baby Chino, Gilligan, Loco Ray, you know what I mean? They was, you know what I mean? Shit was a little, you know what I mean? You had to keep up, you know what I mean?
So, was Crip and Flatbush, was it in response to Bloods, or was it
just... I doubt it. I totally doubt it, because there was no Bloods in Flatbush. Okay. To me. I don't remember any Bloods being from Flatbush, besides, Beverly, you know, I don't remember Newkirk. I remember in Beverly. I know Vanderveer had Bloods at one time. Beverly, you know, that's about it. You know what I mean?
So it's been about what, almost 20 years, or 15 years.
Since that
day at 92 Park, how many years have passed by?
Four. Say that again?
Nah, 92 Park, what year was that?
95, 96.
Okay, so it's been over 20 years.
Of course.
So, what do you see in regards to decade, what's changed that's been positive to you, or what's changed that could be improved?
As far as
Flatbush, and I'd say the gang politics, or the things that you were a part of from the beginning, did it get out of control? Is it on course from what you envisioned? Did you envision anything? Are you in tune with it?
With the gang stuff that's going on now, it depends. If it's dealing with my...
Matter of fact, that's a bad question. Let's not answer that question.
I'm trying to figure out what's up with the live. Is it live over there? Because it's not live.
You were live, and then it said you're not live anymore. Or live now, let me see. You got like 22 minutes to be live. I don't know what this is.
Keep going on and off, off and on and off.
Alright, yeah, so did it spin out of control?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Why wouldn't it? It was new to people. When something's new to you, you got no control over it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got no control over it. Once it's new to you, you just go. You know what I mean? Like, you just go. You know what I mean? You just go.
So when did the music come into play?
The music came into play when I went to prison.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The music came into play when I went to prison. When I went to prison, you know, it came into play. It came into play then.
Were you ever like rapping when you were younger? Like,
hell no.
Lunch table, nothing like that?
Hell no.
So what made you, was it a money thing? Was it a...
Nah, I was in prison. I couldn't make no money in prison, really. Well, I wasn't.
You had like a master plan, like, all right, when I go out, I'm going to...
No.
I see you live.
No, I wouldn't. I didn't have a master plan either. All the Bloods in the prison was rapping, and I started doing the same thing. Like, they was rapping, and I was trying to figure out how I'm going to start some motherfucking trouble, and... long story short, my cousin was in jail and he was rapping, and I told him I just went to his cell one day. I was like, I want to be a rapper. He was like, what? You want to be a rapper? He's like, what do you mean? He was like, you want to be a rapper? Like a rapper? I'm like, yeah, I want to be a rapper. He was like, alright, I'm going to write these rhymes for you. You know what I mean? I'm like, alright, fucking write this rhyme for me then. Like, what's up? Like, let's do this. You know? And he wrote me a rhyme. I went to my cell. I learned it or whatever. And then after I learned it, he was like, yo, he's trying to give me more. I was kind of not with it. You know what I mean? He ended up going to the box. You know what I mean? After that, dude that was locking next to me, he was in the room next to me. His name was Miz. You know, he wrote a few books. He wrote Bishop and Bulldog Crew and, you know, so they had keyboards in there. Dudes had keyboards. So they got their keyboards or whatever. And while they got their keyboards, while he was in there doing beats, I was knocking next door trying to get my, you know, trying to rhyme. That's how that happened. I'm trying to rhyme, trying to put it together and everything. Now I'm doing that. As I'm doing that, I meet this other kid named Sin. They on the other side of the facility, because it was the facility I was in, this facility called Warkill. So it was like an old monastery. So I was on one side. I think I was on the C and D side. He was on the A and B side, or vice versa. And I went over there. We was cool. I knew they had their little rapping crew. Him, Black, you know what I mean? My man Remo. So what I did was I got cool with them. And they had their beats. We had a legal recorder. A legal recorder thing was in there. So shit was jumping. You know what I mean? Like, we used to record. It was only a one take. Like, if you got to go one take because the police used to walk by. So we have to hurry up before the police actually, you know, catch us. You know what I mean? And I did that. I did that for, like, maybe, like, 6 months, because I only had, like, 6 months left to come home. You know what I mean? And then from there, I came home, and it was the first person to take me to the studio was first person to take me to the studio was Troy Ave. You know what I mean? That was the first person to take me to the studio, Troy Ave and Hovain, because I knew him from before I went to prison.
Hovain or Troy Ave?
Troy Ave.
Okay.
Move
right along.
Yeah, we can move right along with that thing right there.
All right, so that's the replay. Yeah. So when did you do you feel like you're nice at this point?
Do I feel like I'm nice
at this point? Yeah.
As in far as what?
Right. Because the Gangs of America makes it right.
Yeah, that was horrible.
it was horrible, but then. The cover was ill, but then I think Locomotive One was alright, and I could always see that Winking Two Tapes is gonna be ill. So Locomotive Three was kind of ill, but it didn't seem like he was really in your pocket, you know, lyrically. So what do you feel you at now?
This next Locomotive Three was I was in a transition to Locomotive 3. I had just got on with Jeezy. I was really feeling myself. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Right now, where I feel like I'm at now is, right now I'm at another place. You know what I mean? When I say I'm in another place right now, you know what I mean? Another place.
This is
you know what I mean?
We got 16 minutes left, bro.
Huh?
We just got 16 minutes left.
All right, well, I'm in another place right now. Right now, I feel like I'm more comfortable. I'm going to say I'm more comfortable. When I say I'm more comfortable, it's like, all right, cool. I could just go. You know what I mean? I think my passion for music has changed. You know what I mean? I lost my passion for music before my mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. Then my mom passed away. Then I was like, man, fuck this music shit. And then, Orlando reached out to me. That was Ransom manager. Asked me to do a feature. Went to do a feature. After we did the feat, I went and did the feature. I just got back into music. You know, I was going to down to Jersey City. I was going to his house almost like every other day. You know, recording there. Then he moved the studio to Newark. I was going there almost every day. You know what I mean? And then when he shut that down, he was like, yo, go get a hard drive. And then I noticed I had mad songs. It's like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? I still didn't have a love for music. I just felt like I was learning a little bit more, a little bit faster. From there, learning a little bit more, a little bit faster. From there, I could say that Steve-O, we connected, and then it was on after that. I just started going to the studio more often. I started going to the studio with this dude named Ruga. And then I started getting comfortable with Cynical, and then he just broke out. My boy just broke out. He left and went to Miami, and then I'm back with Ruga again. But I got so much music. It's, you know, a lot of people always be like, yo, I got mad music. No, I got, like, mad music, like, for real. Like, for real, real. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm holding on to it. You know what I mean? I'm just... It's not me that's in control right now. You know what I mean?
Of the music and the career, is it Ruger? Is that your manager?
No. Ruger does. He's not. Yeah, he's definitely not in control of my music. Ruger. He's just, you know, he's just an engineer. He's a cool, dope engineer. But Steve-O is like in control of it. He's like the mastermind behind it. Like, yo, listen, this is what we're gonna do. This is how we're gonna do it, and this is how we're gonna make noise. This is what we're gonna do. Steve-O does a lot of. He does a lot of. Other artists, he's worked with Nipsey, YG, Davies, Jada, Faf. Steve-O is the one. I always call him Neo.
Why was it important for you to keep the look on even as an MC?
I don't know. It just kind of, cause I felt like when I started making music out here, I ain't there was no Crip rappers, zero, zilch, zero, none whatsoever. I remember because I was fake beefing with Red Cafe. There was no Crip rappers at that time. You know what I mean? And if they were, they wasn't rattling cages.
Right,
as because I came out on some, what? I'm Crip. Like, what's up? Let's what? I was root. Everybody know.
Videos.
Yeah, I was all the way in. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to transition my street to music at the time. I just went in all street and. If you was with it, you was with it. If you wasn't with it, then I don't give a fuck.
Okay. So, and there's no plan to you ever think about, I'm going to be something else.
No. Why would I drop that? My name is...
Well, you look at, like, Smith & Wesson and Coker Brothers, and they went back to...
Nah. My homeboy, Archie, he did tell me this, like, maybe almost a couple of months ago. He told me, yo, won't you go back to Gangsta Cool? I'm like, nah, man, I can't do that. Then somebody else told me, yo, won't you drop Loke and just go, no, I'm not going to do that. This is what I am. If I'm going to win with it, I'm going to win with it. If I'm going to lose with it, I'm going to lose with it. But this is going to be me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to change. You know what I mean? As far as the transition to music, right now, musically, I feel like I'm not gonna even toot my own horn, but musically, I feel like I'm like the dopest.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I don't know if it's a Steve-O thing, but if you could send me just joints, I can listen to joints because I'm running out of music. There's nothing really out right now.
Oh, right now I listen to myself just to, you know, the transition. I listen to myself. I listen to. There's a few people I listen to. I listen to Davies. I listen to Hottie. I listen to Shooter. I listen to Trey Pizzy. I listen to, you know, Perico, Mozzie. Shit that I identify with, that I could connect with, really, off jump.
So, speaking of transition, one thing I wanted to speak about. So, I was talking to someone the other day. Said, yeah, me and Wayne doing this book and whatever and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Person was like, oh, Wayne, yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there at GMAC. I don't know if I'm fucking them. It's just like that.
Oh, nah.
So, then I saw on Facebook, I seen someone... No, you, people who don't know you, they see you and they think that.
Oh, no. All right, so let me clear that up. What happened was, you know what I mean, GMAC is something from Jumani. You know what I mean? Jumani Williams, a councilman. You know what I mean? It's a cure violence site where, you know, they try to reduce the gun violence or whatever. I was working over there, you know what I mean? And... You know, I was working over there. I've had you come over there to speak to the kids numerous times.
Thank you, by the way.
Speak to the kids, you know, pass on the knowledge, you know, as far as me, I don't associate myself with GMAC. I have my own thing going on. I have my own 501c3 nonprofit. It's called Concrete Pillars in the Community. I got my own thing. I'm not associated with that because the stigma that comes along with that. I don't, like, as far as the dry snitching and stuff like that, I'm not a part of that. I've never been associated with that. That's not my thing. You know what I mean? That's just not my thing. Anyone that knows me, I don't play that. If my brother's a rat, he's a rat. So that's just it. It's just some things and certain behaviors that you carry on. If you're a civilian, and I guess that's the problem with a lot of people. If you're a civilian and you've never been in the street and you don't conduct yourself in street behavior or street activity, then if you telling, that's what you're doing. You know what I mean? You're a citizen. You pay taxes. But if you saying you in the street and can you conduct yourself in the street and you telling, you're a snitch, you're a rat. You know what I mean? Because you're telling to benefit yourself. You know what I'm saying? And what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's a lot of stigma with the whole, I know a lot of people associate me with GMAC because they know I'm from Flatbush. And then when you see GMAC, you see Wink, but you don't see the executive director. Because people don't associate that with that because he's not from Flatbush. You know what I mean? So the first thing you see is, oh, Wink is over there. But I'm not over there. I have nothing to do with that. You know what I mean?
So with your own organization,
yeah.
How did that come about? How is that coming about?
It's coming about great. It's just, you know, my boy Sibo, I remember he told me to start it up. And, you know, a lot of other people was telling me start it up. But it really came from the negativity that was going on over there. You know what I mean? Like, just a bunch of the negativity that was going on over there. So if that negativity continues to fester, it looks like we were a part of that. You get what I'm trying to say? No matter all the good that you are doing in the community, all the good that you are doing, they don't see that. Because from the outside looking in, you only see what you see. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's what's going on over there? So if you put a face to somebody and they saying that this person is telling on their behavior is not associated with street shit, and then you from the street and they see that you with it, the natural thing, they put two and two together, like, hold up, this don't sit right. So, you know what I mean?
So how do you balance being a gangster and working in the community to that effect with the youth?
No, being a gangster and working in the community, that goes hand in hand.
And let me beg your pardon. Mm-hmm. What is a gangster to you?
To me? I don't know that definition. I'm saying I'm a gangster because you take care of your family. You know what I mean? You take care of your community. You take care of home. You know what I mean? You don't do buster stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't do buster stuff. You know what I'm saying? When I say buster stuff is, buster stuff to me is taking from the community. We all taken from the community. Some way, somehow, some fashion, we've all taken from the community. But to give back is more. You know what I mean? When I say to give back is more. You know what I mean? We ain't out here misleading the kids and telling them, yo, don't do this and don't do that. And we doing the opposite. When I walk up in the school or I walk up in the prison, I let them know, nigga, I'm a Crip. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling y'all, like, because some of them already being misled. They don't even know what they banging for. They don't know what's going on. You gotta give it to them raw so they can associate, you know what I'm saying, identify with you. And then you can teach them. You know what I'm saying? You got to mold them. Some of them don't even know what love is. You know what I mean? They don't know what love is. They ain't never get love from home. You got to remember, some parents, I'm not saying that they wrong or right, but you got some parents, all they do is work. You know what I mean? So when they come home from work, they think by giving their kids sneakers and clothes and sending them to school, that's love. Because you don't want your kids to be made fun of. So you buying them sneakers and clothes and, you know, keeping them fly. But not one time have you been to the school to check on their grades. Not one time did you ask them, can you see their report card? You know what I'm saying? You don't even realize that your kid is smoking weed. You know what I'm saying? And it's starting to drift to the streets because all you see, you tired. You coming home from work, you tired. You don't really see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You tired. That's not an excuse, but I'm saying you tired. You know what I mean? So now you tired, and then when your kid really get in the streets and gets jammed up, you're like, what the fuck did you do wrong as a parent? You know what I'm saying? Like, what did you do wrong as a parent? What happened is you didn't look over your kid. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't there to nurture them the proper way. Because once the streets get a hold of you, to escape it is hard. You know what I mean? The streets got a different type of hold on everybody. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's death, jail. You know, you pick and choose one.
So do you or have you passed down what you just said, that philosophy of teaching them love?
Of course.
Is that like something that, you know, you try to make as much as you can, being a rapper, you know, and talk to people who have, I say a direct influence to that, that you might, or may not know. Mm-hmm. Do you say, okay, well, this is how we're doing it now. This is what we did in 96, 97.
I say that my music is only a stepping stone to who I am and what I believe is going to happen with me. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that I kind of like a lot of people bank on. That's not my bank. I say music is just a stepping stone to many things. You know what I mean? Like, so the music, I don't associate the music to what I do, because when I speak in my music is what I'm living or what I have lived. So me telling somebody, yo, put the gun down or whatever like that, and then I'm saying something in my music, it don't match. But me telling you put this gun down, because most of them is out here doing senseless murder. You know what I'm saying? They just shooting up, you know what I mean, a bunch of kids around, they just shooting up and doing dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? That's dumb. You know what I mean? Even back in the days, even though we was doing stuff, it was fist fights. You know what I'm saying? Niggas still get to scrapping. You know what I mean? So, niggas ain't scrapping nowadays. You could take a loss back in the days. You get beat up. Cool, everybody know you fought. You get beat up now. You get beat up now. It's like, what? The world has ended. So you gotta go end somebody else's world with the snap of your finger. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know.
So do you tell people that? Like, that respect you, do you tell them, hey, this is
of course, you gotta give it to them real. You know what I mean? You gotta give it to them real. Like, I remember we going to the ACS facilities and Seaborn, I'm telling them, yo, what are you here for? Some of them are there for taking $10. Some of them are there for less than $200, but they're there. And some of them don't care, because they think that the next step from ACS is Rikers. Oh, they're going to be fine. And then the next step from Rikers is upstate. They're going to be fine, because you got to remember, when you come home from prison, you got mad stripes on you. It ain't like you go home from college. Like, if you go, what I learned is, if you go to college and you come home, you ain't got a job yet, you looking for a job, everybody look at you as a bum. Nobody look out for you. You was a bum. You just went to school and you a bum. Now, if you go to jail and you come home, everybody look out for you. Niggas get you work. Niggas get you clothes. Niggas get you money. Niggas set you straight. Because it's like, yo, I don't understand, what talents did you get from jail that you didn't, huh?
Know how to rap in jail.
Nah. That's just.
I mean, is there a Winslow
I ain't gonna say it's a college program, but I'm always down to teach. You know what I'm saying? I love to debate. You know what I mean? That's just me. I love to debate because I like to hear other people's point of view. You know what I mean?
So we got the book. Come, tell me about the book. Why is the
time right now? The book is coming out. You know what I mean? The autobiography is dope. Biography, whatever, is dope. It's just about me, my life, what I've been through, my experiences, you know what I mean, where I'm going, you know what I mean, the dark places, a lot of things that people don't know or don't understand.
Yeah, I think people should know, we just really scratched the surface in this hour of what the book is going to
Yeah, the book is dope, you know what I mean, where it's going, you know what I mean.
I was about to ask you when it's coming out, but you probably want to say shit. That shit coming soon.
It's very soon.
That shit coming soon. You want to speak at all about California? Trip to California recently?
Oh, my trip to California was dope. Going back out there in October. My trip to California, I went out there to shoot some videos. I got it with a lot of homeboys from my set out there. You know what I'm saying? UG Underground. You know, they showed me mad love. You know what I mean? They embraced me. You know, we educated each other on. I educated them the things that's going on over here. They took me around things that was going on over there, put me on, and we just put it all together. You know what I'm saying? We put the pieces together, you know what I mean, get where we need to get at.
Yeah, one thing that like kind of surprised me, you said there was a softball game
mm-hmm.
that was going on. Tell me about it. There's a, you know, there's misconceptions that everybody's animals and savages.
Oh, nah, there was a softball game. There was a softball game. They played in Long Beach, so that was out of there. Out of the territory alone. That was from everybody. So it was 8 Crip sets. All of them was under the neighborhood card. So they all under the same card, but it's everybody different set. You know what I'm saying? You had the East Coast Crips, you had the Rolling 30s, Harlem Rolling 30s, you had the UG, the Rolling Hunnids, you had Raymond Ave, the Block Crips was out there, you know what I'm saying? It was a bunch of neighborhood set. Yeah.
Did you play or you just
watch? Nah, I watch. You know what I mean? I watch. This time when I go out there, I'm going to have to play. But I got a jersey because, you know, that's how they do me. But I went, I watched, they played, you know, and he told me, I kind of asked him, I asked my homie Bill, like, why y'all playing for? Like, what's the point of this? Like, and he broke it down to me. He's like, yo, because at the end of the day, we see each other. He said, everybody going to be woofing like they said is the illest. Your set could be the most thorough set. He said, but to alleviate all this, let's just have these softball games. We get each other. We get to see each other's faces. You know what I'm saying? So if ever it is a problem, we could always square up. It ain't got to get to the next level of I'm going to shoot him or it's an all-out set war.
But you know that's how back in the days how we used to do it in the bush. We used to play blocks versus blocks playing.
You see that?
Playing stick ball.
You see, but that's back in the days.
Like in the 80s.
Even down to my homeboy told me yesterday. He said, "Yo, if they got beef with another set that's a neighborhood, he said he'll bring 10 of his homeboys, 10 toughest of his homeboys, and they bring the toughest their 10. Yeah. And whoever's left standing, how many got the most standing when it's all said and done? That's how it is.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? He said, that's just how it is. That's just how we're going to end it. He said, it doesn't have to lead to where it goes. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time. So, that's the type of time I'm on.
That's revolutionary.
Very much so.
So, you were surprised. It sounded like you was kind of annoyed when you seen it. Like, what the fuck is
this? At first, I was like, what the fuck is this, man? Like, what is this? At first, I was annoyed. Like, what the fuck is this?
So, when you got there, you knew where he was going? Or they just said, I'll take a ride real quick?
Nah, we was together.
So softball bags, like, oh, shit.
We was together, like, the first day we was together. And then when we went to the park, I see them pulling out gloves and bats. So, I'm like, what the fuck? I thought they was playing amongst themselves. And then the homie was like, yo, we practicing. I said, practicing for what? Like, what are y'all practicing for? It's like, we play softball on the weekend. I'm like real softball? Like, y'all play against each other? So he's like, yo, we practicing. So I'm like, ah, this dude is bugging out. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just chill out. So I'm chilling or whatever, thinking that they just practicing. So they practicing. They taking it serious. Oh, you over there shooting dice. You're supposed to be practicing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's like tripping. All right, so then he was like, yo, we got to have a softball game. And, you know, on Saturday, I'm like, all right, whatever. So he was like, pull up. Gave me the address. He was like, yo, either you could come over here. We all lead together. You know what I mean? Because they move in one motion. You know what I mean? With them, everything out there is one motion. Very militant. I'm like, nah, I'm meet you out there. I got out there. I was like, oh, shit. This shit is serious. They really playing soap. And they dead serious. They taking it serious. They got uniforms on. They ain't playing. They serious. Look, we here. And they really trying to win. I'm like, oh, shit.
We have the live broadcast is ended before that ends.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them how to find you if you want to be found, all the other.
You can find me on Instagram at Wink Loke. You can find me on Twitter at Wink Loke, WinkLoc. You know, Facebook. You can find me as Reginald Purvis. You can find me on Wink Loke. Same thing.
All right, y'all. All right, so live fam, just you can get the complete interview on Mixcloud.com/BeatboxRadio. Couple of days, you know when. And we just gonna just, that's that. So, so you back to, they really were trying to win. I mean, do you feel cheated at all?
Why?
Because, it's a good question. Because, you know, you started out playing the tennis and the swimming and the basketball, and, you know, you thought there was like a line in the sand, like either I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Here they are doing both. You're like, damn, I could have fucking been playing tennis in Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I didn't feel cheated. No. I feel...
It was
dope though. It kind of made me realize what's missing over here, because we don't kind of interact with each other at all. Only time you really see Crips or whatever together is either on their block smoking weed together, going to a party, doing. You don't really kind of see them doing nothing sportsy.
Have that dude.
What could you? Of course.
He can have a sort like.
Why not?
Because he can't have a basketball game probably.
Why not?
Basketball, shout out.
How you can if it's order. It got to be some type of structure in order to everybody got to be on the same page. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where you get the people that's saying that they so-called big homies. That's when it comes in. Yo, listen, y'all gonna come here, y'all gonna play, and they gonna be nothing. And if they do something, you discipline them right there. That's how that go. You know what I'm saying? If you can't do that, then you shouldn't come to the table. You know what I'm saying? What are you coming to the table for?
So in the next year, we should expect some
of course, of course.
I feel like it's like a change that happened yesterday or some shit.
No, it, And upcoming, there's going to be definitely some changes, you know what I'm saying? We just trying to bridge the gap because I feel like a lot of the things that's going on is misleading, you know what I mean? When I say misleading, you got, you know, they starting to learn different things, you know what I'm saying? And they don't really understand it, so the way that they pushing it is not good, it's not looking good on all fronts, you know what I mean?
So last question, before you have any last comments, why did you choose me to help you with this project?
Because I felt like you could get it out of me. I can be very down to earth with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people may be afraid to ask the questions that need to be asked, you know what I mean?
There were others. I remember I was writing some else for you, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
You had other people, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, it's a little, like, it's somebody bringing it out of you and actually you feeling comfortable with them. Because a lot of people, they ain't going to ask you that, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people ain't going to do their research. They just going to go from what they hear. You know what I mean? When you hear Flatbush and you hear... When you hear Flatbush, you hear Wink, you're like, a lot of people menacing to it. They're not realizing it's more to how did I get here? Where am I going? You know what I'm saying? What was I thinking at that time? You know what I mean? Like I said, things went by so fast. By the time I turned around, I was already in prison. Before I even went to prison, I was already shot in the head. So it was like, okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? I was just saying this the other day. You know, being shot in the head, I thought I was invincible after that. I thought I could literally walk on water. Because at first I didn't think I could get touched. Then to get shot, it was like, fuck. Like, and then to walk away from it.
Did that make you more to other people a scary person?
Of course, because people got their own stories about it. Everybody got their own, like, you know, story about it. A lot of people just, you know, some of the stories I've heard, it was
you
just
need a silver bullet to kill Wick.
Yeah, man. Like, I've heard so many stuff. Like, yo, he got the... This, I ain't Bruce Leroy. I ain't chew the bullet. I ain't stop the bullet with my teeth. You know what I'm saying?
What I heard, and I think we already talked about it. What the first thing I heard was it hit the knot of your do-rag. And I was told that that's what saved your life.
No, what happened was it's bits and pieces that I always try to put together. You know what I mean? Because there's a part that I just naturally, you're in the street, you really want to know. I really want to know as far as like. There's a piece that's missing in the sense of, yeah, I remember being standing on the corner. I remember them riding by on the bikes. I remember him behind me. I remember the gun to my head. I remember him talking shit. I remember me talking shit back to bluff him. You know what I mean? I didn't even remember being shot. You know what I mean? I remember laying on the floor looking up. I remember Taisha screaming and hollering. I remember him saying, oh, he killed me and spit on me. I remember getting up and I remember getting up and walking up the block. I remember Taisha screaming, but I don't remember how he got behind me. There's no way that I'm trying to figure out how did he get behind me. Because if you know two first is only a one way. So if I seen them, all three of them riding by on the bikes and I was standing on the corner and they was riding past the cemetery to get to, you know, Notion and Beverly, how did he get behind me? Was I still standing there that long that gave him that space to get behind me? Did he come in front of me? Did I was a lapse? All I remember is bending down to tie my shoe and coming back up, and he was there. There's no way he got... I would have seen him. I would have seen.
Do you watch your back physically a lot more after that?
Nah.
You keep your back to the wall?
Not really. I felt like I couldn't be touched then because I had so many people around me. You know what I mean? I was always saying I'm the POTUS of this Crip shit. And I felt that way even after I got shot. When I got shot, I just felt like I was more... I didn't have it all. I just felt like it got worse. When I got to prison, I think prison was what really humbled me. Because when I went to prison with that same mentality. Like, give a fuck? Like, what's up?
And you got big in prison. People don't know you...
Yeah, I got big when I was like, I had like about a year left in prison. About a year. I ain't work out almost my whole 10-year bid. I ain't work out. I just was chilling. I tried to work out though. I ain't gonna lie. I remember going in the gym one time, putting the 245 plates on. When my homeboy took it out, I was like, oh, it fell on my chest. The one plate fell off. The other one, I said, man, I ain't doing this shit right here. This ain't my thing. I tried doing pull-ups. Wasn't my thing. I said, man, fuck all that, man. I played basketball in prison. And then when I had like a... I had like 14 months left, and they moved me to a different facility. They moved me to Walk Hill. When I got there, there ain't no fences there. First of all, ain't no fences. And then everybody in there was brolic. I've been in all these jails, everybody brolic, but I'm like, what the fuck? There's nobody in here. Don't like, they ain't got no gym in there. You know what I'm saying? Everything is in the yard. You got to work out in the yard, in the rain, everything. Everything is pig way. I just started working out. Started working out, being mad greedy, eating oodles and noodles, peanut butter and jelly, everything. And I just was wilding out. I didn't even realize I was big until I had, I think, 40 days left. 40 days. I didn't even realize I was big until I had, like, 40 days. And they moved me to Queensboro. When I was in Queensboro, I seen my boy that I was up top with. He was from Syracuse. He was from Syracuse. His name was Rock. He was, his arms always was like 25, brolic. He's staring at me, and I'm seeing him, and I'm like, hold on, this my man Rock. So I'm like, yo, Rock, what's good? He was like, yo, what's good, homie? I'm like, yo, Rock, it's me. He was like, me who? Where you know me from? I'm like, it's Wink, my nigga. Like, he like, nah, you ain't Wink. I'm like, yo, it's Wink for real. He like, son, what you was eating? Yo, you mad? And then from then, I was like, but that whole time I didn't realize it. Even when I came home, that's why I stopped working out when I came home. When I came home, I had no neck.
I'm sorry. Because this all connects to my mind. The song you was on the Stick Man from Dead Prayers video.
Yeah.
Back in my regimen.
Yeah.
And the hook was Swole, I Took You. Well, you can get Swole, I Took You.
Yeah.
That's a good video. So I'm taking that to the Rest in Peace Tukey video you did.
Mm-hmm.
You called me, said come through.
Mm-hmm.
I had on Wallabies.
Yep.
And you made fun of me.
That's my guy, Sebo, you know me.
You made fun of me. He said, oh, you got the Hush Puppies. Yeah, I was wondering. So that's a good way to end it all. Anything I forgot? Well, you know.
Nah.
About the book. We got this name of the book gonna be. You said something about the heaviest headed with a crown.
Yeah.
Gotta do a photo shoot. You doing shit. It's gonna happen. Dope. Good interview, right?
Yeah.
Good shit, right? All right. So tell me the story. We out.
Peace.